Josh Rogan of The Washington Post. His new book is Chaos Under Heaven, Trump, Xi, and the Battle for the 21st Century. It is the spring of 2020, just yesterday. And the expectation is that the virus can be dealt with in some fashion in time. A vaccine, careful safety mechanisms, a marshaling of the population of the United States, or the population of Europe, of all continents, to prevent the spread of the virus enough so that health facilities can care for those who are very ill. The vulnerable are over 60 or over 50, have the pre-existing conditions. We know all this. But still, it is necessary to name the thing correctly, as Confucius tells us. Where did the virus come from? How did it suddenly show itself in Wuhan? One theory advanced by the Chinese is that it was natural, out of jumping from one species to another, perhaps bats to pangolin and then to mankind, who would consume the pangolin. Another theory advanced by the Chinese soon after the revelations of the catastrophe in Wuhan was that it was spread by the United States military. It was fantastic at the time, and it was puzzling, but it was a theory. Another approach was a lab accident. Josh spends a deal of time pulling together what we know so far about the lab accident thinking. It happens. And the lab, the Wuhan WIV, the Wuhan lab, was identified as early as 2017 of having security problems or not being well taken care of. It had two level two labs, two level three labs, 17 level one labs, two level three labs, and one level four lab. Josh, if I say this incorrectly, help me. The level four lab is the one that was important. What do we know about that lab, and what don't we know?
Well, as you rightly pointed out, in 2017, 4 years ago, U.S. diplomats traveled to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, the world's leading coronavirus research center, met with the scientists there and wrote two cables back to Washington warning that their new level four lab was woefully insufficient in terms of its safety and staffing procedures and resources. But more specifically, they warned that this lab had shown that it was doing risky coronavirus research on bats and how they could affect human beings. And that research had been published, although little noticed at the time. And what these diplomats wrote back to Washington was that, hey, listen, they're doing risky bat coronavirus research, and we think it might be posing a direct danger to humans if a lab accident were to occur, and they have these safety concerns, we should probably do something about it. And those warnings were totally ignored back in Washington. Now, when the outbreak occurred in Wuhan, these same diplomats thought to themselves, wow, isn't this exactly the same thing that we were warning about? And they tried to raise the alarm again. But by the time this had happened, the story of the origin of the coronavirus had become so highly politicized by all sides that it was very hard for them to get any attention once again. And the reason it became very politicized was twofold. One, because the Chinese government put out a story that this had originated in a seafood market in Wuhan. They later disavowed that story and sanitized the market before that, and the evidence could be preserved that would have proven that story. But at that time, that was the official Chinese government story. Administration asserted, after I published those cables from those very diplomats, that they believed that the lab was involved and that they believed that the lab accident had been responsible for the outbreak, but they didn't provide the evidence to support that either. So most people in the media in Washington and in the country were forced to choose between believing the Chinese government's, you know, unproven assertion or the Trump administration's unproven assertion. And basically everyone's scientific analysis fell down along those political lines. And then the story got corrupted even further when they assigned to do the investigation some of the Western scientists who had been the best friends of the people who are running the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and they had a clear conflict of interest. And to this day, they seem to be steering the WHO investigation against any real inspection of the lab. And so that just shows you how, as you said earlier, the science and the politics are becoming mixed up in all sorts of weird and corrupt ways that we have find it very hard to untangle. And what I tried to do very simply in the book was to argue that, you know, first of all, we don't know how the origin story began. We don't know how the virus broke out, but we need to investigate all of the possible theories, including the natural spillover theory, including the lab accident theory, and see where the science and data takes us. Simple as that, full stop. And that investigation right now is impossible because the Chinese government won't allow it. But also that investigation happens to be exactly what the Biden administration is pushing for, because they're not invested in one theory one way or the other. Neither should any of us be. We should just, you know, realize the fact that, you know, this lab, this Wuhan Institute of Virology, was conducting risky experiments on bat coronaviruses and how they infect humans. That doesn't mean it was a bioweapon. That just means there might have been some human error that related to the outbreak.
You have a quote from Richard Ebright, a microbiologist and biosafety expert at Rutgers University. If SARS-CoV-2, that's COVID-19, arose from gain-of-function research in a lab, it is entirely plausible, even likely, that an animal model involved in that work would have been humanized ACE2 mice. There is clear plausibility. There is not evidence. To get evidence would require either a confession or an investigation. Rather than explain what an ACE2 mice are, I'm going to say that Mr. Ebright is setting up the challenge for the future. That's what we need, Josh. We need an answer to the question he raised. And we need a confession or a full investigation of the facts. And as of yet, do I say correctly, that has not happened?
No, and there's no prospect of it happening because of the Chinese government's ongoing cover-up and refusal to answer basic questions about what was going on in Wuhan at that time. And, you know, it's pretty shocking. The data that they are hiding could help us understand the outbreak. They clearly don't want to help us do that. And, you know, what Ebright is saying is that, you know, what they were doing was they were taking naturally occurring viruses that they had found in Yunnan, by the way, which is 1,000 miles away from Wuhan, right? The thing that you have to sort of wrap your head around is that the bats who had these types of viruses came from 1,000 miles away from the outbreak, but they broke out 10 miles away from the lab which was researching these viruses. What he's saying is that they weren't engineered per se. It's not as if a scientist went in and tinkered with them. What they do is they pass them back and forth through mice, and the mice have human lung cells that they've specifically implanted in them, and that speeds up the evolution. That speeds up the process by which these viruses become more dangerous. That's the point of the research. The point of the research is to speed up these viruses' evolution to figure out how they might turn into pandemics. And it's at the height of irony that this exact research to predict the pandemic might have actually spawned the pandemic. But if you think about what they were doing, well, then it makes a lot of sense, and it's definitely worth a closer look that we right now can't have.
In 2004, you were a very young China hand. In 2016, you were a middle-aged China hand. At the close of your book, you make the very clear statement that the China challenge will last for a generation. So when you're my age, Josh, some 30 or 40 years from now, can we expect that this confrontation will have been solved, or is it a spiral? How do the people who think about this professionally, how did Matt Pottinger and Robert O'Brien think about it? Are we in an end game where we're going to collide, or are we going to find a way out together?
Well, what I'm describing there is a generational turnover, and I think that generational turnover is happening right now. And the older generation of Asian hands believe that roughly open engagement with China would lead to China liberalizing economically and politically, and that would solve all of our other problems. And the younger generation of Asian hands, not so young anymore, never believed that. And they saw China for what it was, not for what the older generation said it was or wanted it to become. And what that means is that we're at the beginning, the first inning of a much longer game. And we don't know how this will end, but we know what our goal should be. Our goal should be to establish a relationship between China and the rest of the world that both sides can live with, to avoid the conflict that neither side seeks. And what that means essentially is to convince the Chinese leadership that it has its behavior outside of its borders has to change, and that its rise cannot come at the expense of the security, prosperity, and public health of our citizens. And suffice to say, they don't seem convinced yet. And so that's what the Trump administration did. They played the first inning of that new game, for better or worse. And now the Biden administration has to continue where they left off and hopefully devise a strategy that partners and allies and all Americans can rally around. Because this is the challenge of our generation, and the point is to avoid conflict, but that cannot happen by hoping that the problem goes away, because hope is not a strategy.
Josh Rogan is the Washington Post columnist. He writes global opinions. He reports on China routinely, has over the years. He's been my guide for that reporting. His new book, Chaos Under Heaven, is a chronology of the Trump years from the election, actually a week before the election, 2016, through the first year, the trade identifying how we can trade together and how a better deal can be achieved. The second year, when suddenly for the first time there's clearly a trade war underway, to the third and fourth years where we distrust each other profoundly. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.